Isn't it strange that only one time a year we take specific focus on Thanksgiving, giving thanks, being grateful? And yet that is happening to us all the time, isn't it? Around us there are those things that happen to us and we're grateful. And that gratefulness changes our lives in different ways, shapes, and forms. There is an author. His name is Andrew Clavin. He's written many novels and is known quite well for his writing. But recently, he came out with a book about his own spiritual journey entitled A Great Good Thing, A Secular Jew Comes to Faith in Christ. He talks about that for many years. For nearly 45 years of his life, he was a non-practicing Jew, raised in a non-practicing home, and he lived as a philosophical agnostic and, as he called himself, a practical atheist. And yet there were steps all along the way where he began to see and experience the love of Christ. He said, "Jesus never appeared to me when I lay drunk in a gutter. And yet when I look back on my life, I see that Christ was beckoning me all along at every turn. When I was a child, there was the kindness of a Christian babysitter and that magical time at Christmas Eve that I spent in her home. When I was a troubled young man contemplating suicide, he was the voice of a Christian baseball player who gave a radio interview that inspired me to go on. And always, he was in the day-to-day miracle of my marriage, a lifelong romance that taught me the reality of love and slowly led me to contemplate on the greater love that was the source of inspiration. But perhaps the most important thing for the novelist came when he was reading someone else's novel. He talks about how he's always been a very logical thinker, down to the deepest parts of what he was thinking. And in one of Patrick O'Brien's seafaring novels, he ran into a character who every night would lay his head down and said a prayer that Andrew thought he could say himself. It was a three-word prayer. Thank you, God. And so, after having read that and thought he could maybe do that himself, when he laid down to rest that night, he said the prayer. Thank you, God. And he was thinking about the contentment he had found, the work that he did, the people he lived with and loved. And it was a small but an even prideful prayer. Self-impressed intellectual hesitancy, but it was his attempt at faith. And what surprised him was the next morning he woke up and everything seemed different and changed. There was a sudden clarity and brightness, he writes, to the familiar faces and objects. They were alive with meaning and with my own delight in them. I called this experience the joy of my joy, and it came to me again and again whenever I prayed it. So naturally, I continued to pray more. And now, that non-practicing secular Jew is a baptized Christian. This experience of gratitude leading to faith, faith leading to happiness, has its roots and it can be found even by scientific experimentation. There were two psychologists who did work on this idea of gratitude, and they gave a number of subjects into, they divided them up into three groups. And they wanted one group to sit down and write what they were grateful for out of that particular week. The second group, they said, what happened to you in that week that just was upsetting, made you upset? And the third group said, write about anything you want remembered of that week. Well, it turns out that that first group that wrote about things that they were grateful for experienced more gratefulness and more joy. It seemed like it actually promoted it. For the persons who concentrated on what was going wrong in their lives, in fact, their joy seemed to be wasting away. Now, another man, another researcher, tried it a little bit different way. He took 411 people, and he had them first write an assignment and personally write a letter. Have them write a letter of gratitude for something that they never actually told the person about. And it was amazing because just thinking about that raised their spirits, made them more joyful. In fact, the impact of writing that letter usually meant that for the next month or so, they lived off the joy that came from writing a letter of gratitude to the person that they had failed to share with. Now, how does this all, these things about gratitude, connect then to our passage that we were looking at from Luke 16? Happiness comes from gratitude. But before you get to happiness, there's joy. In the story, we see some things happening here. But let's put it in context. Since in the story of Luke, in chapter 9, verses 51 to 62, Jesus, in his ministry, turns towards Jerusalem. And he knows what that means. During this time following this, he teaches his disciples to pray. In chapter 14, he warns the crowds about the cost of discipleship. And in chapter 16, verse 14, he starts to address the Pharisees who were lovers of money. And this continues on all the way to the end of the chapter. So when Jesus is giving this parable, it is focused at those people he was finding contention with, the Pharisees. And so he presents to them a parable of two scenes. A rich man, who he doesn't even name, who wears purple, throws parties, has a good time. And at his gate is placed Lazarus. He doesn't even get there by himself. He is placed there. He has no food. He's covered with sores. It's the opposite. And yet both of these two people end up dying. Abraham welcomes Lazarus to his side, to his bosom. And the rich man finds himself in torment. It seems like the rich man's got a problem. It's very clear from a Pharisee's point of view that the rich man failed Lazarus. Because the poor in their midst is in the commands of Moses, Deuteronomy 15, verses 7 to 9. Also, the warning found in Isaiah 58, 6 to 9, you need to take care of those who do not have in your midst. So the rich man had failed to listen to Moses and the prophets. So in his life, was he ever grateful? It doesn't say. We're challenged by that. And then we see this whole thing, this dialogue with the rich man saying, well, if you know, have Lazarus cool my tongue with a drop of water. He said, no, the chasm's too deep. No one can pass from one to the other. Well, then send a warning to my five brothers. And Jesus goes on in the parable to state, even if someone was raised from the dead, they wouldn't follow him. Is not Jesus pointing to himself? Advocating what Jesus has been advocating all along. There is a role for almsgiving. It's serving the way we serve the Lord. Luke 12:33, sell and give alms. Luke 14:12-13, sell and distribute the money to the poor. Or that's actually Luke 18:22. And in Luke 14:12-13, we see that he says, give a luncheon or a dinner and invite the poor. Jesus is pointing at something that is deeper than just being happy. Jesus is pointing to us to a way of life that we can be grateful for what we have, knowing that it can benefit others. So the challenge is, how do we note, how do we count our blessings? What do we consider blessings? Clearly in the story, possessions do not lead to blessings. And even if we have the ability to give, that doesn't lead to blessings either. It's rather, what do we actually give? What are we thankful for? And are we aware of those people who are at our doorsteps? The Lazaruses that God places next to us. For true gratefulness is caring for these people. True gratefulness is recognizing that it is in the relationships we have with other people is where the bounty is, where the goodness is found. We need to be recognizing that around us all the time, we have the opportunity to be grateful, be thankful for the people in our lives, the relationships we have, and how we can encourage relationships, how we can bolster relationships, how we can gain friends because Jesus loves us and we can love them. It's interesting that when we look at the reality of what we think are blessings in our lives, it is too easy to start to think of material things. There was a study done of people who had won huge amounts of money in the lottery. And they were asked a whole bunch of questions, along with people who had been in accidents and who had lost the ability to walk or even to use any of their arms or legs. and then others who had no great gain or no great loss. They asked them all the same questions. And again, what comes out is interesting. For those who were in the group that won great amount of money, they highly saw it as a highly positive experience. They clearly saw themselves as fortunate. While the others who had been in an accident kind of leaned towards victimhood. But when it went on to deeper questions, asking about what was satisfying now, what they were grateful for now, it turns out that typically, among those who had won great amounts of money in the lottery, they have no joy in their life today. The gift ended up being a burden. And shockingly, the ones who had gone through and had lost mobility turned out to be the most grateful people of all, recognizing in small ways, in things around them, in the relationships that they had, that they were blessed people. These are the challenges that we face. Happiness isn't based on what we have. Happiness isn't based on our abilities. It's only as we recognize what we are grateful for that we start to experience joy in our lives. And this deep joy that can embrace all of life. For Henry Nouwen has said that true joy is able to embrace all of life. The ups, the downs, the challenges, and the mountaintops. From the lowest to the highest moments of our lives, when we can look at them and say that God is with us in the midst of it all, and see how God is with us and caring for us, we can be grateful. And gratefulness leads to joy. And joy leads to a content, happy life. So I ask you, friends, as we've been spending time, as we spend the one day a year talking about Thanksgiving, did we look at our relationships, the people that were gathered around us at those tables, or wherever we were at? Did we look around at family and friends and recognize the gifting we have from God with these people? Can we recognize our potential to see to the needs of others and care for them and deepen our gratitude and our joy? For as we walk in this world, we of all people have the most to be grateful for. Without possessions, stripped down to the absolute minimum, we have this relationship with Jesus Christ. That means our lives are not grounded or limited to this world. But we are loved by the Savior. And accepting His love, we have life eternal. And so our joy can be deep beyond imagination. And our gratitude can be beyond all wealth. Let us pray. Our Lord and God, You have offered the greatest gift of all in Your Son, Jesus Christ. And from there, we experience the growth of our gratefulness in having a relationship with you, having relationships with brothers and sisters in Christ, having relationships in families. Lord God, continue to grant your blessings to us, that we with generosity might be able to offer ourselves to others from that deep sense of joy that you have created in our lives. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Amen.